I would submit that without Judicial Watch, I shouldn't say this. I don't know where we'd be without Judicial Watch as a country. I'm serious about that. So Judicial Watch files litigation. Those of you who don't follow Judicial Watch, we are a government watchdog group. We're an educational foundation. And we educate the public by exposing what the government's up to, putting it out there, using litigation to expose what the government's up to, and hopefully stop the government from engaging in government corruption and abuse. So we help whistleblowers. We help victims of government misconduct. We protect the civil rights of American citizens. I would say Judicial Watch is America's number one civil rights watchdog group because the left is anti-civil rights. There used to be groups that supposedly were in favor of civil rights. They've abandoned that. And one of your core rights is the right to vote, right? And I would submit the right to vote is contingent on ensuring that your elections are honest, right? Because if your elections aren't honest, your right can be easily negated by illegal voting, or you're less likely to participate in the system and no one's going to think the elections have any meaning or merit because they think they're too easily rigged because the rules are allow for the potential of fraud. You don't have to have actual fraud. You can have potential of fraud to undo elections in terms of having them having the results be respected by the populace. If people think elections are rigged, that's terrible. And sure, that's why the law puts these rules in place to reassure people that their votes will count. And one of the rules that have been put in place is that the states need to take reasonable steps to clean up the rolls under the National Voter Registration Act. And the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court ratified Judicial Watch's work in this area several years ago. By essentially saying that, yes, it's right and it should be the case that states need to clean up the rolls under the National Voter Registration Rights Act, even if the Justice Department won't enforce it. And Judicial Watch was the first private group to enforce this law, that the states take reasonable steps to clean up the rolls, meaning if someone moves or dies or otherwise becomes ineligible, they're removed from the list. And one of our biggest victories, and this is my time to go through some of the most significant fines and litigation successes in 2023 by your Judicial Watch, is the news based on Judicial Watch litigation that Los Angeles County confirmed the removal of 1.2 million ineligible voters from the rolls there. And this was a result of a Judicial Watch lawsuit settlement where we sued the state of California and Los Angeles County. And as part of the settlement, Los Angeles County promised to begin the process. It took several years to remove people who were inactive, people who shouldn't be on the rolls. And they confirmed in black and white, we looked at the documents, so we didn't just trust them. You know, we did some due diligence to ensure that the numbers were correct. And they confirmed under the terms of the settlement, they met the terms of the settlement, that 1.2 million ineligible voters were removed from the rolls under the terms of a settlement agreement that we filed in 2017. So it took 5 years for us to get that full success. Under the terms of the settlement agreement, Los Angeles County sent almost 1.6 million address confirmation notices in 2019 to voters listed as inactive on its voter rolls. And essentially, if they don't respond or don't vote for two federal election cycles, they're supposed to be removed. In fact, some of these names, half of them at least, hadn't voted in the last 10 years. And the problem with having people on the rolls who aren't there anymore, that's obviously a pool from which fraudsters can dip or from which fraudsters can draw. You can, especially in California, we don't have voter ID. And the mail-in ballots and such just make the situation worse, in my view. So part of cleaner elections is... One of the necessities of ensuring cleaner elections is making sure the rolls are clean. Dirty voting rolls can mean dirty elections. It's simple. Does it mean that elections will be perfect as a result? No, but they will be cleaner as a result. So this is a long overdue voter roll cleanup in California. I mean, they allowed 20% of their election, their rolls to get dirty. And now they're cleaner. Now there's more work to do in California. We're doing that. But this was a big victory for 2023. Shocking number. And I'm going to go chronologically from the beginning of the year. So that was in February. In March of this year, Judicial Watch found, this is what I was talking about with the Defense Department earlier, we uncovered Air Force documents that are outrageous. They're documents from the Air Force Academy that focus on anti-American critical race theory training of cadets. And the documents show that our cadets are being brainwashed and abused at the United States Air Force Academy. We sued for these records. I think we sued with a group of veterans called Stand Together Against Racism and Radicalism in the Services, STARS. And we sued the U.S. Department of Defense for Air Force Academy records regarding systemic racism, which is an anti-American smear and canard. And this is what they say in one of the documents. Systemic racism exists in our society. Identity groups, whether based on race, ethnicity, age, gender, sexual orientation, religion, or disability, have all experienced less than equal treatment in our nation, both historically and persisting in the present day. Systemic racism means that fundamental to America is racism. Everything that happens is informed by racism by the government. Our whole military is informed by racism. And of course, that's the basis for revolution, right? That's what makes it communist and Marxist. That the institutions of America have this original sin that hasn't been erased, racism, or variations of it, whatever you want to call it, genderism or whatever other Marxist term they have to disguise the revolution. And because our institutions are compromised, they need to be overturned. So this is a terrible development in our, by the way, not only in the Air Force Academy, we've uncovered similar attacks on our system, on our military, at the Air Force Academy and at the Naval Academy. At West Point and the Naval Academy. So our rising leadership of our military is being force-fed this anti-American Marxist propaganda. And Judicial Watch is uncovering it. So, you know, it's one of these things where it's like, I sure wish we hadn't found this because I wish there was nothing to be found. But we found these terrible documents showing that there's this full embrace of critical race theory and systemic attacks on our system of government and our Constitution and the American way in our military. I think that's urgent, don't you? Also in March, we settled another case related to election integrity. Colorado agreed to settle a lawsuit over ineligible voters and agreed to extensive reporting and a review of voter roll cleanup efforts. Colorado voting rolls removals increased by 78% as a result of our litigation. So we had that big case in Los Angeles County, California. We had a similar lawsuit in Colorado over their failure to clean up the rolls, and they settled after they cleaned up the rolls. So again, countless names removed from the roles. And that we found, talk about systemic, there was a systemic failure to clean up the roles in Colorado, and our lawsuit settlement fixed it. Coming on the heels of a massive voter roll cleanup in Colorado, in California, excuse me, thanks to our lawsuit, this settlement agreement is a major victory for all Colorado voters. Cleaner voter rolls mean cleaner elections. So California, so this year saw a big cleanup in California and a big cleanup in Colorado. And there's more to come. I'll talk to you about that. So another major development this year was the exposure of gain-of-function research details that will completely knock your socks off in China by the Fauci regime. This is the headline in April. Records show funding for EcoHealth, Wuhan Institute research to create coronavirus mutants. Mutants. Now, it's funny. Well, I shouldn't say it's funny. But when we've been talking about the gain-of-function controversy, right? And what is the controversy? That the United States was funding gain-of-function research in Wuhan. They knew it was gain-of-function research. They allowed it to continue. And many are suspicious that the gain-of-function technique, either we trained them in through this funding process and programs and partnerships, or more directly through the actual program itself, resulted in the creation of the coronavirus, COVID. Now, do we know for sure gain-of-function created COVID? No. But we do know for sure that gain-of-function is dangerous. Because what is gain-of-function? It takes a virus and makes it more likely to infect and harm human beings. And it never occurred to me to call these viruses subjected to this gain-of-function mutation as mutants. Mutant viruses. But it did occur to them. The Fauci people called it mutant viruses. We found 552 pages of records from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services that include the initial grant application and annual reports to NIH. That was the agency of which Fauci's agency is a subpart. Involving the EcoHealth Alliance, which was the nonprofit through which this money was funneled to China, Wuhan, etc., describing the aim of its work with the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China to create mutant viruses to, quote, better predict the capacity of our COVIDs to infect people. EcoHealth planned to sequence the spike protein from coronaviruses obtained from bats for the purpose of, quote, creating mutants to identify how significantly each would need to evolve to use ACE2, which is explained as the receptor to gain entry into human cells. So they were specifically creating mutant coronaviruses. And this was in material that was in the possession of this agency beginning in 2013. These were applications from 2013. So if you're looking for a smoking gun, here you have it. And there's so much else material, there's so much other material here. We'll have the release link below. But virtually everything we know about COVID and the Wuhan Institute and coronavirus research and gain-of-function research and large measure a lot of the vaccine controversial the vaccine controversies is the result of Judicial Watch's FOIA litigation. So if you want to know why Fauci should be subject to criminal inquiries, it's because of documents that Judicial Watch has uncovered, where we confirm they were using your tax dollars to create mutant coronaviruses in China. Well, this is an important find as well. We had a long-term, a big long fight with Qatar. I don't know what other way to put it. The Qatar Foundation was giving money to Texas A&M. And we were working with the our friends at the Zachor Legal Institute, Z-A-C-H-O-R, to find out how much money Qatar was given to Texas A&M. Now, Qatar is a hotbed of Islamic radicalism. It's been in the news a lot recently because that's where Hamas's political leadership is hanging out. I mean, Qatar is a notorious supporter of terrorism. We got a big base there, too, which makes it doubly uncomfortable for the United States. But they've been pouring money into the American higher education for reasons that I think would be quite obvious to anyone. Why would they be pouring money, right? You know why they're doing it. And they intervened in our FOIA lawsuit for Zachor Legal Institute to get the detail of how much money they were given Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M had I think they even set up a campus in Qatar. And Zachor, they began asking for documents or money, for documents about the detail there, detailing the amount of money Qatar was given to Texas A&M back in 2018. So we were dealing with the Qatar Foundation, who was intervening here up and down the Texas courts, for years. So we were involved in fighting a foreign government, essentially, to get the truth about what a U.S. entity was dealing, getting in terms of money there. Texas A&M University. And guess how much it was? $500 million. $500 million. We uncovered Qatar had given Texas A&M $500 million. A public university, by the way. As I said at the time, now we know why terrorist link Qatar has fought us in court to hide its financial support for Texas A&M. We just found out the financial support was $500 million. So that was a big victory. So next up in our big victories in 2023 is Pennsylvania. People always say, what are you doing about Pennsylvania voting rolls? What are you doing up there? Well, we settled a lawsuit there after Pennsylvania removed 180,000 names from their voter rolls. This is from May of this year. Pennsylvania admitted in court filings it removed 178,258 ineligible registrations in response to communications from Judicial Watch. The settlement commits Pennsylvania and five of its counties to extensive public reporting of statistics regarding their voter roll cleanups for the next 5 years, along with a payment of $15,000 to Judicial Watch. The five counties were Luzerne, Cumberland, Washington, Indiana, and Carbon County. And obviously it applies statewide in the sense that, you know, all the other counties are on notice. So we're going to be able to get the numbers to ensure they're cleaning up the rolls. They've already cleaned up the rolls in response to our litigation, we argue. In fact, you know, when we first sued, they said, oh, no, Judicial Watch is wrong. These counties that we had initially specified, they actually cleaned up the rolls. And we said, well, you told the federal government something different. Well, they said, well, that's true, but you're wrong. I mean, that's the way Pennsylvania was handling things to date. One county, Allegheny County, in response to Judicial Watch's inquiries in 2020, removed, I think, 70,000 names. We didn't even have to sue. They just said, you're right, we're going to remove 70,000 names. So last year saw the settlement with Los Angeles County, result 1.2 million names, countless names removed in Colorado and in Pennsylvania under this Voting Rights, National Voter Registration Act. So this is an interesting story, and I know some people think, well, why are you concerned about Joe Biden's dog? I don't, you know, I'm sure it's a nice dog or was a nice dog. I don't know where he is now, but he was biting Secret Service agents. It was out of control. And as we uncovered, thanks to a tip, and we confirmed the information in July of 2023, that Joe Biden's dog had attacked the Secret Service 10 times. Can you imagine a dog attacking you? I'm sure there are many dog lovers who are watching. Can you imagine having a dog that attacked 10 human beings, including one of the Secret Service agents talked about the dog biting him on the arm like this and grabbing his forearm like that. Crazy. Another Secret Service agent bitten on the back. It was a technician, I think, who showed up at the Biden home in Delaware. The dog sneaked out and bit him on the back. Crazy. And back when we uncovered it back in July, the Biden people lied. Said, oh, no, we're going to take care of it, trained. And they didn't. And he bit 25 people more, I think, or something crazy like that that was exposed by NBC. And they finally said, okay, we're going to get rid of the dog. So this is the way the Biden, you know, to me, it's kind of an indication of the way D.C. works. You had the president of the United States, his dog, usually, and the president and Jill Biden were present for some of these attacks, was biting Secret Service agents, federal law enforcement people who are willing to put their lives on the line. They're allowing their dog to bite them and not doing anything about it. And the Secret Service was hiding the information. We only got this material after pushing for it through FOIA. Federal lawsuit. So the Secret Service wasn't protecting their people. The Biden regime wasn't protecting their people. And of course, this is not the first instance in 2023 of the Secret Service, of evidence of the Secret Service being misused for political purposes or being abused. Remember the cocaine investigation by the Secret Service where they, quote, couldn't figure out who left the cocaine in the White House? Or the Secret Service potentially taking care of Hunter with that gun craziness where he threw the gun, or his girlfriend threw the gun in the dumpster, and the Secret Service reportedly intervened some way. Unbelievable stuff. Which leads me to our next set of disclosures, and I think we had a few disclosures of this over the year, most recently in December, where we uncovered that the Secret Service was involved in the investigation of the drowning of Obama's chef, Defari Campbell, up in Massachusetts. You may recall when the poor guy first drowned, you know, you wouldn't know that it even occurred on the Obama property. Well, in fact, the Secret Service was involved. We found that out. We found out also through our litigation and FOIA requests that Obama was there at the scene of the emergency response. And outrageously, more recently, we just uncovered that the Secret Service had two boats presumably there for emergencies that they couldn't get to work when the guy went missing and drowned. And they had to use the groundskeeper boat to get out there. Secret Service records disclose agency boats inoperable for Obama's chef drowning emergency. So you had Obama's personally being involved at the investigative level here. Secret Service boats not being operable. And Judicial Watch is the one who figured this all out. All 2023. Now, the big news this year has been the exposure of one of the big revelations this year, has been the confirmation of the corrupted Justice Department investigations into Joe and Hunter Biden. The IRS whistleblowers stepping forward and saying that the investigation was obstructed. Leads weren't allowed to be followed because they were going towards Joe and other members of the Biden family. And finally, when they had a sweetheart plea deal, they brought before a federal judge. The federal judge blew it up by asking some basic questions about what the heck's going on here. I've never seen anything like this before in my life or in the history of law. While this same Justice Department pursues laws and charges against former President Trump that have never been pursued before in the history of America, the current president and his family are protected from serious investigation into crimes that are typically prosecuted related to mafia operations, racketeering, money laundering, bribery, etc. And Biden's been caught lying time and time again about his involvement in all of this. And the left says, well, there's no evidence. The evidence is Biden's lying about it. He said Hunter did nothing wrong. I had no contact with his business partners. I never talked to him about business. All of that has been proven as lies. So every changing story, every time he changes his story, the story gets blown up as a lie. And one of Judicial Watch's biggest disclosures to date is the fact that Joe Biden, through an examination of his alias email accounts, we found that Hunter Biden was getting information about Joe Biden's meeting with guess who? The Ukrainian president when he was vice president. Burisma, does that ring a bell? We found back in December, this is all in December. We had a busy December. Lawsuit uncovers 2016 Joe Biden emails showing Hunter Biden copied on Ukraine president information. The email with the subject line Friday schedule cards was sent by John S. Flynn, who was Joe Biden's assistant at the time, boss, 8:45 a.m. prep for 9 a.m. phone call with President Poroshenko. Includes information on the number of troops who died, and it was CC'd to Hunter. Why was Hunter getting information about prep for a call with the president of Ukraine at the time? Was there a Burisma tie? And this, again, was uncovered thanks to Judicial Watch FOIA litigation. And it blows out of the water, as I said in this release. What did I say in the release? Blows out of the water the notion that there was any distance between Joe and Hunter Biden on the Burisma influence peddling scandal. And the year ended with another major victory for clean elections. Yet another. So this was what? Colorado? Pennsylvania? California? We also had a case in Illinois that settled where we gained access to voter rolls to help ensure they were cleaner. And then as the year closed, the government of D.C. confirmed to us that they removed 103,000 ineligible names from the voter rolls in response to Judicial Watch. They've already removed 65,000, and they said they're removing 38,000, so it's going to be 103. And I think that's like 15% of the list. I mean, D.C. is a relatively small jurisdiction here. And there are at least 73,000 more who are inactive and subject to removal. To repeat, the federal law requires states to conduct a general program that makes a reasonable effort to remove from the official voter rolls the name of ineligible voters who have died or changed residence. The law requires registrations to be canceled when voters fail to respond to address confirmation notices and then fail to vote in the next two general federal elections. And so those reports of what that is, so they're supposed to report what they're doing in that regard to the Election Assistance Commission. We're looking at the records. We're seeing there's nothing being done. In the case of D.C., evidently, they were sending out the notices and not following up and removing people after they dropped off the list. They didn't either respond to the notice. They didn't vote for two federal election cycles. And only because we rang the bell again did they do it. But a big cleanup in D.C., thanks to Judicial Watch. And just so you know, we warned Illinois that their rules are filthy. They need to be cleaned up, otherwise we'll sue. And we sent the similar notice to California. Because despite what L.A. County did, there's a big mess in California as well. And we're going to sue there unless they take urgent steps and radical steps and timely steps to clean up the rolls. I mean, there's millions of names that haven't been, well, I shouldn't say. I would suspect there's potentially well over a million names in California alone that need to be cleaned up. So another big victory. And then most recently, we uncovered material from the FBI. FBI records show that the Office of General Counsel reviewed controversial targeting of traditional Catholics. Now, they were telling us that, remember that targeting of traditional Catholics at the Richmond office, the Richmond field office? Oh, that was just one office. And we stopped it as soon as we found out about it. Well, that wasn't really true, Director Ray, because Judicial Watch uncovered documents, thanks to our litigation with Catholic Vote, that the Office of General Counsel, which is D.C. headquarters, approved some of the targeting here. Again, Judicial Watch uncovered it. So we ended the year exposing that maybe Ray committed perjury before Congress when he denied that anyone outside of Richmond had any practical influence on what was going on there. So not a bad year for the rule of law. Where would we be without Judicial Watch, right? And if you have not made your donation to Judicial Watch for 2023, there's still time. And if you're seeing this after the new year, you can begin the new year. You can fulfill your resolution to be a better patriot and protector of our Constitution by supporting Judicial Watch. I would submit that without Judicial Watch, I don't know where we'd be without Judicial Watch as a country. I'm serious about that. And I'm convinced that without Judicial Watch, our history would be very different in a negative way, right? Our Constitution would be weaker. Your right to know would be weaker. Corruption would be more rampant. It would be worse. You think it can't get worse? It can get worse. And it will get worse without Judicial Watch. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and like our video down below.